Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Hello, Covenant Presbyterian community. My name is Hannah Lundberg, and I'm just really delighted to be with you for this Sunday. I'm right now a seminary student in New York City, and it's so great that through the magic of technology, I can join you across all this distance in Iowa. I went to college relatively near you all in Grinnell, and while I'm in seminary in New York right now, I'm still under care in the ordination process with the Des Moines Presbytery. I'm so glad Reverend Nathan reached out so that I could virtually spend some time in Iowa, even while I'm far away from you all. Well, my show and tell is going to connect to Iowa a little bit as well. I brought this bowl, which looks sort of like a normal, boring ceramic bowl, but it is really special to me. This was made for me by one of my good friends in college, Katie. She has her initials carved in there on the back. And while I would have loved this beautiful creation of hers under any circumstances, the way that Katie gave it to me is really particularly special to me. When I was approaching my college graduation, I was feeling pretty sad about it. I'd loved almost everything about my college experience, and as the time came to a close, I didn't want it to end. I was facing a big transition into new and different things. Most of my friends were preparing to scatter all around to different corners of the country. I didn't want to leave Iowa, which I had so grown to love. And I was afraid that being in such a great place for 4 years, I didn't know what it would look like to start over again, build new relationships and communities in a new place. But as graduation came closer and I felt like there wasn't any space for my big, sad feelings about this transition. Most people seemed really happy about it. I thought that it was probably wrong how much this felt like a weighty heaviness when it felt like a celebration for so many people around me. Well, Katie is a very good friend, and I don't know if she knew I was having a hard time or just happened to show up at the right moment. But while I was alone, listening to sad music in my room, pitying myself and trying to pack up all my stuff to move, Katie knocked on the door of my dorm room, and she handed me this bowl that she had made herself. We talked for a while, and she gave me a hug, and she reminded me that I mattered, and that even in this transition, I would be able to build new things in my next stage of life. And because of that, this bowl is super special to me. When I pull it down to mix up pancake batter or bake cookies, I'm reminded of Katie and how she came to me in that moment of overwhelm and helped me ground back down into who I am and who I can be in the world. So that is a long way to set us up for our scripture reading today, where Isaiah speaks to a community that's in crisis. He's speaking to people who might feel overwhelmed or forgotten, or frustrated that their next hopeful outcome has not quite arrived. This passage reminds the people of who God has called them to be, and affirms that even while circumstances may change, God keeps calling them forward into the next steps of the journey. So join me in our prayer for illumination as we move into the scripture reading. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O God, will stand forever by your Holy Spirit. Speak through this scripture and help us to truly listen. Amen. So listen now for the word of God from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display God's glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, for they shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot. Therefore they possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for God has clothed me with the garments of salvation. God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. This is the word of God. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good news to the oppressed, healing for the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, comfort to all who mourn. To me, these big, powerful promises of hope, liberation, and freedom that fill Isaiah 61 are like a big plate full of good, hearty, comforting biblical promise. If you get a chance to reread the chapter again later, I would recommend it. I think every time I read these words, I get a new dose of comfort and encouragement, but also challenge. They're the sort of words that speak across time and space with the assurance of God's presence and active involvement in the things that pain us the most. This week, as many of us prepare for a Thanksgiving that will look a lot different than most of us would like, I think these words hit with a particular power. Hearing these words in the midst of uncertainty, frustration, fear, and exhaustion might also bring us a little bit closer to how Isaiah's original audience would have heard this. I know that at Covenant you've been reading several passages from the prophet Isaiah in the past few weeks, moving through several different moments in time based on when different portions of the book were written. But overall, Isaiah centers in different moments in time around the Israelite experience of being exiled to Babylon, and then returning home with the daunting and perhaps overwhelming task of rebuilding and trying to return to something that they imagined the former glory days of Israel might be. At this point in the latest portion of Isaiah, the context is that the people have spent a long time looking forward to a future where they aren't in exile, where they've rebuilt Jerusalem to its former glory, and where the stories of past joy that they've heard from generations before them can finally be something that they experience as well. But it is slow going, this process of rebuilding. And for many people, it probably feels like the pain and challenge of the moment that they're in is never going to go away. I don't know that our experience with the pandemic and all that 2020 has been is exactly like what the people of Israel are going through here. But I do think that we know some of this disappointment particularly well, especially this week. I remember back in April talking with my brother about our speculations for how long the pandemic would last. Those conversations that you look back on now and just have to laugh at. What did we know then? My brother and I were both signed up to run the Philadelphia Marathon, which would have happened today under normal circumstances. And in April, we were still hopeful that we might be able to race together and then fly to visit our parents for a big family Thanksgiving. Obviously, those plans are a little bit different now. And that dream feels so long ago. But rather than now being able to go back to normal, it seems that now more than ever, it's important that we keep doing our part to keep each other safe, changing plans we'd look forward to, giving up things we'd anticipated with delight, and celebrating Thanksgiving in a different way than we might want to. With whatever losses you might be holding right now, be they small disappointments about changing traditions, or the heavy grief and fear of losing loved ones in this season, I think that Isaiah invites us to hear God's voice in the midst of those difficult times. Isaiah 61 begins with that series of bold declarations proclaiming freedom for all who struggle, good news to people in the most uncomfortable of circumstances. This liberation isn't limited to those who are particularly righteous or those who have done all the right things and earned special recognition, but rather it focuses on bringing hope to those who may be the most hopeless, who are as far as you can get from a place of comfort. And it's not just words. There's an introduction of an active process of healing, where God's people will be gathered up and tenderly put back together again. It reminds me a lot of the Beatitudes in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. The list goes on. I think we can feel confident that our God is one who stands particularly on the side of the suffering, who walks alongside us when we are at our lowest, reminds us of our sacred value, and then actively works to bring us back into community and wholeness. Isaiah is inviting the people into a great reversal of power, expectation, and authority. This reference to the year of the Lord's favor is not just about a short-term solution for their problems, but a connection to the idea of a jubilee year, where after 50 years, debts were canceled, property was returned, the land was given rest, and the regular cycles of people's busy lives were interrupted by a vision of God's plan in the world. As Isaiah speaks to this weary, exhausted audience, I think he is offering a much-needed reminder that when God sets out to make things right, everything gets turned on its head. And the result will not be just momentary peace, but a life-altering, everlasting joy. In verse 8, we hear the words, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Here, as throughout the passage, this hope for a renewed future rests directly on the fact of who God is. If we are sure of the character of God, as one who loves justice and stands on the side of the downtrodden, these words of hope are not just an empty promise. Though we may be frustrated, disappointed, and weary from the road, we can remain confident that God is still God, faithfully maintaining a covenant with us, even when the moment looks bleak. This Sunday is the Reign of Christ Sunday, marking the last Sunday before Advent, and a time when we can acknowledge the sovereignty of Christ in our world. While I'm not focusing extensively on that with this passage from the Hebrew Bible, Isaiah's statements about who God is and how we are invited to respond can call us into the truth of the reign of Christ. Even when the circumstances of the world make us feel like someone else or something else is running the show, we are reminded that God is in control. Jesus also finds himself invoking this passage in Luke 4 when he's first beginning his ministry and reads the first few verses of Isaiah 61 aloud. like the exiles returning to and rebuilding Jerusalem, and like many of us looking out at a hurting world today. Jesus did not enter into a world of peace and justice for all. Jesus was born into a world of inequality, suffering, and injustice, and he began his ministry there. While defining his ministry, he invokes this call, bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus lives that out in so many ways, challenging the status quo and inviting people forward into a bright new vision of the kingdom of God. Like Isaiah's vision, that is one of fullness, abundance, and radical love. It's a world I sure want to live in. For many of us, this season of waiting, worrying, and wondering through so much of 2020 has been painful and tiring. It can feel like there is no end in sight. As your kids switch back to online learning, as we spend more time alone as the holidays approach, as our fear about the health of ourselves and others only grows. I'm anticipating that this Thanksgiving will be a hard one for many of us. Thankfulness can be so hard to find when so much that grounds and sustains us is missing or looks drastically different. On Thursday, I'll likely be making a downsized recipe of mashed potatoes in that bowl that Katie gave me in college, remembering for myself another moment when transition and change felt overwhelming. But I was able to get through it. I'll try to remember the resilience of community and the presence of God, but perhaps most of all, I'll be thinking about how in these moments of uncertainty and change, God calls us forward to imagine a more just, more inclusive, more loving future for all. When the Spirit of the Lord appears, it doesn't just help us temporarily get through hard moments, but calls us forward to a better future. The Spirit of the Lord invites us to rethink the structures of our world and step forward boldly into a new vision. So this Thanksgiving, while we wait in uncertainty and difficulty, let's keep listening for that small voice calling us onward. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.